rewind button. Y'all, how many of y'all know what that rewind button was? Now you're telling on yourself now. And some of us are so old, we can remember we just pick up the needle. And some of us are still old enough, that's what they play everything with. Amen. I want to tell y'all right now, Brother Robert has a collection of vinyl like you've never seen in your life. If you have a song you want to hear, that fella's got it. I guarantee you that. But anyway, I appreciate that, gentlemen. That was a blessing. Y'all ready? I tell you what, if you wasn't ready for preaching, you ought to be now. I'm glad we know a friend that knows how to do it. I'm glad we have a Savior. And I'm so very thankful. I told someone the other day, if I didn't believe what we're teaching and preaching around here, I'd quit what I'm doing. I mean that. But I'm glad I know a man that can. I don't know where you come from, what's happened in your life, what you're going through. I'm going to tell you right now, he's good for all of it. And he can help us no matter where we are. I'm telling you, we're trusting an almighty God to do almighty miracles in the lives of all of our folks. And we've got things going on and God working in people's life and healing people, and we're thankful for all of it. I want you, if you would, open your precious Bible tonight to James. We're going to be in the book of James again. And now next week, Lord willing, I'm going to preach on the metaphor of the hammer. The Word of God is a hammer, so y'all get your tool belts ready next week. Amen? And how many of you ever hit your hammer? You've ever hit your hand with the, you ever hit your hand with the hammer, finger with a hammer? And y'all know how that feels. And so we're going to do a little bit of hitting next week. Amen. But I can promise you it'll be, if you can get hit lovingly, it'll be lovingly hit. Amen. That's kind of like when my parents used to give me a spanking and they'd always say, no, I'm doing this because I love you. I wish they didn't love me so much. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of y'all was raised in the old-fashioned way where they took that Bible verse literally, that the rod of correction drove it far from you? Now, I hear people now always say, I tell you what, it's what the Bible says, preacher, you spare the rod, spoil the child. The Bible doesn't say that. It doesn't say that. The Bible says if you spare the rod, you hate your child. Think of that. So my mom and dad was right. They disciplined me because they loved me. Amen. Well, we're not going to be disciplined nobody next week, but we are going to look at the Word of God as a hammer. And I want to say, we not only see the Word of God as a hammer, you know, I do know that a hammer can be used to destroy and to demolish, but I want you to know something. There's been a lot of pretty houses built because of a hammer. So a hammer don't only demolish, it also builds, and so I'm thankful for that. Let's look, though, at the mirror here tonight. The Bible says in verse 19 of James chapter 1, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Then I want you to look down here at verse number 22. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Heavenly Father, I pray now you'll help us for these next few moments as we expound in thy word. Help us not only to be hearers of the word, but I pray you'll help us to be doers. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I started this morning on just talking about being doers of the word. We talked about using our head, our hearts, and our hands when it comes to looking in the word of God. But tonight, this morning, we also looked at the demands of God's Word in our lives. Verse 22 says that we need to continue, so that's the demand. And we talked about that if you read a cookbook. You're not demanded to cook to fix a five-star meal or a five-course meal. A book like that don't demand you do that. But the Word of God demands us to continue in what it teaches. And then we talked about the development of God's Word in our lives. We cannot just be hearers of the Word. And we talked about how dangerous it is just to be prone to hear the Word of God and not do anything with it. It's a very dangerous place to be. And then we talked about the disregard of God's Word in our lives. In verse 23, if you notice, we're looking at a look here. When someone looks at something, it's really a look of a disregarding look. Oh, like, well, I'll look in there for a second. And we tried to explain that this morning. But the Bible says they looked, and they didn't really look real hard. They didn't look for the details. They just got a glance. And so when they walked away, they forgot it. And so when we think about that in relation to the Word of God, we should not have a disregarding look to the Word of God. We shouldn't just look in there and say, oh, well, I know that's what it says, but, and we walk away and we just kind of disregard what we've heard. And by the way, that happens so much here in America. It happens in our homes. It happens in our lives. And I hope and pray that we're not doing a disregarding look to the Word of God and look in the mirror. And I tried to explain that. I think the Lord gives beautiful object lessons in likening the Bible to a mirror. There's no woman here that looks in that mirror and just does this. Well, that'll be all right. And then walk away from the mirror and forgot what you've done. You're not going to do that. I know what y'all do. Y'all sit in that mirror, you put your makeup on, you put your eyeliner on, you fluff all that stuff up. And I've never seen any fluff it. I don't know what you're fluffing. Maybe your hair. Back in the 80s, you used to tease that stuff, right? Shh. Had them bangs. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of y'all looking at me like I'm on a stranded island. How many of you was in the 80s and you fluffed your hair? Thank you. I appreciate you. All right. And so anyway, none of y'all do that now, I understand. But, you know, I've never seen a lady just do this with her lipstick. That'll work. Never seen anybody do it. What do? They look in there. I mean, you don't want to, you want to make sure. So you're not looking in the mirror. That'll work. You're very detailed in the way you put your lip, because nobody wants to walk out and they have a crooked smile. Nobody does that. So look, this is a beautiful object lesson. Here's what the Bible's likening itself to. He said, don't look in the Bible like that. Don't have a quick disregarding look in the Bible and just walk away and say, oh, that was good, but you know what? I just forgot everything that I just read or seen. No, the Bible said we should be doers of the Word. So we see the demands of God's Word, the development of God's Word, the disregarding of God's Word. But I want to close tonight with just this thought. How about a disciplined look? How about a disciplined regard to the mirror, to the Word of God? Now look at verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, here it is, and continueth therein. In other words, it's not just a look like, oh, wow, that's great, good to know, and walk away. No, 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 no. You're looking in it, you're seeing what God wants, and then we're obeying that. We're putting that in our lives. We're continuing. Look what the Bible says. Be blessed in His work. And I asked this question this morning. Who doesn't want to be blessed? By the way, the whole world is looking. Every individual you run into, they want to be happy. They want to be fulfilled in life, but sadly, most people you walk into and run into, they're not. You know why? They're not doing what God says. See, God has created us for a purpose. And by the way, you can fill your life with all kinds of things and all kinds of stuff. But here's the truth. God's created us for a purpose. He's created for His will. He's created us for His pleasure. So if we're just simply living life for everything else, we're never going to be joyful in life, never going to be blessed, because we're not living for what God has made us to live for. So when we look in the Word of God, it's really, it's a roadmap. It's an instruction manual. And so when we look in this mirror, we need to look disciplined to be committed to it. Now, what is the purpose of the Christian life? Well, the Bible says here you're going to be blessed. Well, how is the best way to be blessed? Our purpose in the Christian life should be what? To be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. If we're a Christian, we should be what? Christ-like. Who's our example? Who's our goal? Who do we read about when we read in this book? When we look in this mirror, who do we see? We see Jesus Christ. So the goal for the Christian life is for us to be more like Him. And I can promise you this, if we're more like Him, we'll definitely have a blessed life. So when we come to the Word of God, it should be something we are diligent in. We are pursuing the truth. We are ultimately desiring to discipline our lives by it. Now, I watched a movie the other day, or read a documentary. I didn't know anything about him. I don't know how I didn't know anything about him, but there was a young man that was from Colorado back in the 60s, and he was too small. Every college football program thought he was too small. His name was Freddie Steinmark. I'd never heard of him. But he was too small, but he was the best player. He was given the greatest honor in the whole state of Colorado in 1968 as a senior in high school, but he was only 5'10", and he was only 150 pounds. Well, no big 1AA school wanted him. Well, there was a guy by the name of Darryl Royal, one of the greatest college football coaches of all time, University of Texas, looked at his tape, brought him down there with another man on his team, and brought him there, and he gave him a full ride. And this guy, 5'10", 160 pounds, underweight by everybody else on the team, and here's what's amazing, that Freddie Steinmark became, and back then sophomores never started, he became the starting safety for the University of Texas on the national championship game, the national championship season of 1969, his sophomore year. Undersized, not even recruited. I think one little Ivy school recruited him. And you say, why are you bringing this up? Because, man, he was disciplined. He was absolutely motivated. He wanted to become the best football player that he possibly could be. He dreamed to be the greatest football player that he felt that he could be. And by the way, for his size, for his stature, he was a great football player. Sadly, he got bone cancer and died when he was 22 years old. And I thought, and we read of stories like this, that people that have become professional sports players, that's all they desire. So when they're looking at all of the things that the doctor might tell them to do or all the trainer tells them to do, they're not just looking at that book and, the real good ones, they look diligently. They have a desire. They're disciplined. Why? Because they want to do something with our life. And as a Christian, we ought to want to live for Jesus. We must look into it carefully, and we must apply His Word in our lives, and here it is, and not miss any details. You know, the Bible's a beautiful book. Someone says, well, it's too hard to understand. Well, it is if you don't read it. You know, I hear people all the time say, well, I can't understand. I said, well, do you read it? No, I don't read it. I can't understand. Well, how do you know that you can't understand if you don't read it? I can promise you this. We're going to take a test tonight, and I guarantee you we're going to read a passage of Scripture. And by the way, I know y'all didn't know y'all was going to take a test tonight, but we're going to take a test tonight. And I'm going to say this, and we're going to take a test, and I'm going to be honest, the smallest child of what test we're going to take tonight is going to be able to ace that test. They can understand every word of it. But listen to me, it ought to be a disciplined look. We ought to not want to miss any details. Look at verse 25. Here's another wording that I love. James calls God's word the perfect law of liberty. Now, you know that's such a... people don't believe that today. What's James talking about here? God's word is law. Number one, is perfect. And it is complete and it brings liberty. Now, here's what you're told today. You're a Christian, you're one of them Bible-believing Christians, man, you live in bondage. You don't have no fun. You got to do all them thou shalts and thou shalt nots, and that old book's a big old rule book, and you can't have no fun. Can I help everybody with that just for a second? The law of liberty means that the Bible gives us true freedom. Can I give an illustration? As all of you know, we were given a beautiful specimen of a dog. And this dog's name happens to be Domino. And to be fair, I have never in my life ever had a dog that has taken with me like this dog. And I'm not going to lie to you, I have taken to the dog. He's my buddy. I mean, he's my buddy. Now, it's getting so bad. My wife, and I'm telling you, I'm not exaggerating. My wife will try to come and hug me or kiss me, and this dog will put his face between mine and hers. And he'll put his head there, and kind of do some type of a grin teeth type thing. And it's funny because here my wife is looking at a Dalmatian dog going, he's mine first. He was mine first. I love it. We were leaving. Well, I don't know if love might be a little bit too strong, but I'm fond of Domino. Me and him are buddies. And so we're leaving tonight for church. Well, we put him down in the backyard, and there was these two little white dogs that our neighbor walked, and Domino was behind the fence, and he was, you know, acting like he wanted to play with those dogs. As I was pulling out, I got to thinking, I don't know, it was probably about 6 months ago, there was a man in our neighborhood, he walked this great big dog, and he would walk his dog around. Well, he'd come over to the backyard there where our fence is, and Domino was just going crazy. I mean, he was barking. And you know what that dog was saying? I know what he was saying. I can read dog. I can hear his language. He was talking. He was saying, let me out of here. He said, I want to go tear that dog up. Domino said, I'm going to go tear that dog up. Well, here's what's funny. The neighbor walked right up to the fence, and he didn't even ask. He didn't ask. He opened our gate. And he took the leash off of his dog, and his dog ran right after mine. Now I'm going to tell y'all what Domino did. You've seen the white flash of my dog running by and going through the doggy door and was gone. Now Seabone, he was behind the fence, and the other dog, and he was, listen to me now, he was in the safety of the fence. See, he was free inside the fence. But he said, I want out. I want to get out there. But you know where my dog was really safe? He was really safe inside the fence. He had freedom in the fence. Y'all know what I'm trying to say? Where are you free? Where are you truly free? Where do you have freedom? When you're in the law of liberty. See, the Word of God is not a bunch of thou shalt nots because God hates us and He's trying to keep us from happiness. No, He's trying to protect us. He is trying for us not. Do you know who's in bondage tonight? The young man or the young woman or the person that has completely gotten away from this Word, gotten out of the law of liberty, and now they're bound to appeal. Or they are in bondage maybe to some type of a needle with a substance in it. They can't even function without it. They're in bondage. They're in bondage. They're not free. See, the world wants to tell us as Christians, oh, you guys, you ain't having no fun. You're just living by a bunch of rules. No, listen to me. I have the law of liberty. I don't have to worry about what I did last night if I'm living in the law of liberty. I'm safe in this fence of liberty. The Word of God is like a law of liberty. Yes, law gives liberty. These words give me freedom. Sin is what bounds us. Sin is what binds us. Now, I'm going to tell y'all right now, Domino found that out the hard way. He was free in the gate, but you know what? I thought of him just like us. We're always, every teenager always wants to get outside the fence. Well, my mommy and daddy, they got all this fence around me. They got all these rules around me. And they just don't love me. No, what they do, they do love you because they're trying to keep you free. Trying to keep you free. See, God loves us. He gives us freedom. And He gives us real freedom in the law of liberty. Amen. How many of y'all believe that's true? See, the real liberty in this world, where are we really free? When we're looking in the mirror. When we're letting this mirror and we're doing what God asks to do and we're continually walking therein, when we're trying to obey the will of God for our lives, we are free. When we allow God's Word to do His work in our lives, we will become what God wants us to be. So a disciplined look. When we come to the Word of God, do we read it all? Just take a real quick glance. No, we look in it. Why? We want to know what God wants. Do we desire what God wants for us? There must be a desire and a discipline in our lives to conform to the truths of God's Word. I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes, a lot of times, our old flesh don't want to conform. We don't want to conform. But you know what? Bible says we ought to die to self and we ought to give to the Lord. We ought to surrender to the Lord. Why? Because here it is. The that continueth therein will be blessed in his work. We want to be blessed. We want to be joyful. We want to have a wonderful life. We want to have a life that means something. Make a difference. Y'all want to take a test? Let's take a test. Y'all turn with me to the book of the Gospel according to John. Let's go to John. I want to close up here with this. Go to the Gospel of John and let's look in chapter 13. John chapter 13. Let's take a test. All right? I want y'all to put yourself here and let your mind come to life. And as we read this chapter, I want you to put yourself, as you're reading these verses, we're reading them together, I want you to picture the Lord Jesus talking to you just like he was the disciples many years ago. Let's look at it here in John chapter 13. Look at verse number 4, or verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and he began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is that sent greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, notice this, happy are ye if you do them. Let's take a test. How many of y'all understand this passage? The Lord Jesus Christ, being the Savior of the world, bowed himself, girded himself with a towel, got a basin of water, and started to wash his dirty disciples' feet. After he did it, he looked at all of his men, and he's the Savior of the world. He's the leader. He's the great teacher. Yet he humbled himself and washed feet. And then there's what he said. He said, As I have done unto you, you are to do unto others. I have given you example. And he said, If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. Can I ask y'all a question tonight? As a Christian, can I ask you a question? How many feet have you washed lately? Now, I don't mean literally washing someone's feet. We know that that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did here, but that's not, and again, I'm not being critical of other churches. I know some churches, they have a feet washing ceremony. We don't do that here because I don't believe that's what he's trying to teach here. I believe he's trying to teach by example that we are to be servants. I preached a message years ago, how dirty and how wet is your towel? How dirty and how wet is my towel? Now, there's not one person, even from the child to the oldest adult, that does not understand this passage, that Jesus Christ got down on his knees, took a basin of water, took a cloth, and washed his dirty disciples' feet. Everyone understands that, but here's what the Bible said. He didn't just tell the story and say, Oh, the Lord Jesus, that was so kind of him. He says, No, now you do it. Now you do it. Now you do it. Now let's let that come to life. Let's take a test. We're the disciples. We're sitting there. And by the way, this word is for us. And if you're a Christian tonight, we ought to be washing feet. Hey, we ought to be serving the Lord. We ought to be finding someone to love to the Lord. We ought to be finding someone to serve and to do something for Him. There are so many dirty feet symbolically in this world. Can I say, we have a lot of children that have dirty feet, and we're always needing people that will wash some feet and get on an old bus or get on a van and drive down the road and be willing to pick up some feet and to pick up some little children and do as to them as Jesus did for them. What we did today in taking up an offering for Bailey and for the Collins family. It's basically, what are you doing, Pastor? Well, I'm going to tell you what we're doing. We're just trying to wash some feet. We're trying to serve and we're trying to love people to the Lord. By the way, that's how we get people to the Lord. We love them to life. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ loves them. And He died for them. And we know that the Bible tells us that the people that surround us, we're always on trial. You know as well as I do, as a Christian, you're on trial every day. You're on trial. Here's what they say. He's a Christian. I tell you right now, if he or she's a Christian, I don't want to have anything to do with it. Now, by the way, we know that people ought not live that way because we are human. We do make mistakes. But I'm going to tell you right now, how in the world can they argue with someone that's looking in the mirror, looking in the Word of God, and they're trying to wash dirty feet just like Jesus did? Look, there's a lot of feet washing activities around here. There really is. I tell you right now, there's always some dirty feet in that nursery. Can I get a witness? We always need help of helping some little children in the nursery. It was funny. We had a couple come to Sunday school class this morning for the first time. And I wasn't able to go downstairs this morning. And so at the end of the service, they come up to me and I said, well, how did you enjoy Sunday school? And they said, well, we like it. She said, is it right underneath the nursery? I said, yeah. She said, that was quite amusing. She said, you could hear everything the children were doing. I said, yeah, isn't it great that we have children making noise? I'm telling you right, we can go to some churches tonight. They ain't nary got a child. And I want to just say this. We've been blessed indeed, church. God has blessed us with young people, young couples, children. I'm going to tell you right now, they are the church. I never get upset if we have a child. That might put me out just for a minute if one of them's misbehaving. I'm like, somebody get a hold of that one. But you know what? They're children. I'm glad they're here. And by the way, they're going to be children. And I'm glad they are children. Sometimes we go out with folks and they have their children and they're worried to death because they're afraid their children are going to, you know. My nephew said to me the other day, he's like, Uncle Mark, we were always scared to go to the restaurant with you when you had a preacher over there because I knew you were always scared of what we were going to say. I said, no, not really. I said, I was glad you was there. I was glad you got to hear the conversations that you got to hear. I love children. But you know what? The Lord Jesus loves children more than we do. And boy, they've got some dirty little feet, and we need some people that will help wash them. How many of y'all with me? Hey, we got a lot of feet washing activities around here. Hey, we got a bus ministry that's always working, needing somebody to. Hey, we got dirty vans and dirty buses. And man, you could go out there and literally wash a dirty van and a dirty bus for the Lord. And if you say, well, Pastor, I just don't like to be in the limelight. Well, there's a perfect spot right there. You'd never be in the limelight. You could just wash an old dirty van, vacuum up an old bus, and man, the only ones that would know about it is you and him, and by the way, that's all that matters anyhow. Hey, there's a lot of things we can do around here, man. We can pick up people from church. Hey, I think about my old brother Robert. We got some folks that are washing his feet, and I want you to know he's got some dirty ones, amen. Someone says, hey, we need some guys to step up and go get Brother Robert. He loves to come to church. It's about 12 minutes out of your way, but would Jesus do it? Well, he certainly got his towel out and got it wet and washed some old dirty feet. He said, Pastor Mark, I'll tell you right now, I don't know if children's my ministry or not. I understand that, but I'll tell you right now, there's always something around here that somebody's feet gets dirty. There are so many things around here that needs their feet washed and needs, hey, listen, I can promise you this, you can spend a lifetime in a ministry of Tiftonia Baptist Church and you'd be just like Jesus and you'd be an absolute joyful in your life because you have lived your life washing people's feet just like Jesus did. Now, I don't know about y'all, but here's how I'll close this thing out. I'm certainly glad he washed my feet. I'm certainly. And by the way, I'm glad for the people all through my life that I've watched wash dirty people's feet. And I'm glad that there has been people that not thought themselves too mighty, too up and mighty, too spiritual to not just go over and just gird an old towel and put it over their arm, and boy, they'll get a bucket out and they say, oh, Pastor Mark, I tell you right now, we have a death in the church and their family needs fed, or their family needs something brought down here at Sunday for a meal. Boy, I tell you right now, I'll be the first to get my towel and bucket of water out and I'll feed them a meal and help bless that family. Somebody say amen. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, I tell you what, Pastor so-and-so's in the hospital. What can I do? Well, you can wash a little bit of feet. You can get on your phone and just send them a text and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. We love you and want you to know we're thinking of you. That's washing people's feet. Goes a long ways. You say, Pastor Mark, I'll tell you right now, that's just not my makeup. Well, listen, it's not my makeup either, but Jesus is my makeup. Jesus is my example, and I want to tell y'all something right now. If the Savior of the world can don an old washcloth on his arm and get down on his knees and wash those old dirty disciples' feet and showed leadership, servant leadership as he did, I don't know about y'all, but if we want to be like Jesus, that's a beautiful way to be like Jesus. Now, when I look in the mirror, I see my Savior reaching down with a basin of water and an old dirty towel washing disciples' feet. And the Bible says here, happy are ye if you do them. Here's the test. There's the command. Now what are we going to do with it? We have a whole week now. This is Sunday, and we have all the way through next Sunday to obey this command. There's something that we can do this week just like Jesus would do it, and we can get our towels dirty. Amen? Happy are ye if you do it. Could you imagine if everyone in our church would take this literally and help somebody this week? Can you imagine what God could do with it? You say, Pastor Mark, you don't understand some of the people that I'm running with or some of the people that's in my family. Man, they're hard, man. They're callous. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, there's nothing that'll break them more than just to see somebody get down on their hands and knees and do something for them that they did not expect, and you could only have done it because you love them. Boy, that'll break people down, won't it? Why? Jesus said, happy are you if you do them. Now, we're always recruiting feet washers around here. We have some feet washing activities. Miss Janet, would you say the bus ministry is a feet washing machine? Amen. Let's say it a little louder. Amen. It's a feet washing machine. So y'all be praying about the feet washing. There's one way. Miss Laura, are we always looking for folks to get in the children feet washing business in the nursery? We always, because it's precious to have little children, but we got to have somebody back there to help them and watch them. And isn't that a blessing when we have people just start washing feet like that? Amen. How about Children's Church? Brother Jim and Miss Cindy's in the hospital tonight, but we always have room for the KFC, Sunday school. Hey, we've got things around here going on. We got plenty of foot washing going on. Let me just tell you, go get your towel. Get your towel. Come on, we'll help you get it dirty. And here's what the Bible says. Happy are ye if you do them. Y'all going to pass that test this week? With head bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to get personal here. I know many of our people are burdened for somebody else. They're not in church. They're not living for the Lord. You're concerned about them. Now, look, you don't have to tell me who they are, but let me just ask this question. How many of you know somebody like that? You have a burden for them. You love them. You're concerned about them. And you could call their name. Now, I'm not going to ask you to call their name, but you could call their name. Would you just raise your hand? Do you have someone like, all right. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get their face in your mind. I want you to see them. I want you to see them. Somebody that you're concerned about. You see them? Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to ask God to help you this week to do something in the form of doing something out of the ordinary for them, washing their feet, to let God use you to speak to their heart. Think what God could do with it. Something out of the ordinary. Something that they never expected you to do. Something that shows love and care and concern. Let's ask God to help us. Let's stand to our feet tonight. You have their face in your mind. You know the altar is always open. If you want to come and pray around the altar, but I'm going to ask you to keep that face in your mind, and I want you to pray that God help you this week. We have been given a test. Happy are you if you do them. Maybe it's somebody around here. Maybe somebody here in the church, and you just know they're discouraged or they're struggling, and you just want to be a blessing to them. Boy, do it this week. Happy are you if you do them. How many of you know God spoke to your heart about something tonight? Then let's let Him have our way. Let's let Him have His way. Make your pew a place to pray. Come up here, pray in the altar, however you want to do it. The altar is always open. Happy are ye if you do it. There's just something about that name. Father, we come to you tonight. We want to thank you for your many blessings. Lord, we thank you for your word. It does demand of us. Lord, I can't help and read that passage of scripture and think, Lord, is my towel wet? Am I serving you and others? Lord, the world's philosophy is don't serve anybody, just get your own. See, Lord, your word don't tell us that. To be happy, to be joyful. It's always serving others. And Lord, you're our greatest example. You gave yourself for us. I pray you'll help us to be happy as we do these things. I pray you'll help us to not just look at your word with a quick look. And I pray you'll help us to look for the details. And we'll be desiring your will. We'll thank you for what you do. And all of our hearts, again, I ask that you'll give us home safely tonight. We thank you for loving us, and because you love us, we love you. We ask it all in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people.